This episode of the Lou Rockwell Show is sponsored by...
Do you want liberty in your lifetime? The Free State Project is our best chance. We are people who know that liberty will not be achieved by more of the same tactics and are committed to a strategy that will work. Check us out on the web at freestateproject.org. That's freestateproject.org.
This is the Lou Rockwell Show.
What's great to have as our guest this morning, Dr. Guido Holzman. Guido is university professor and chair of the economics department at the University of Angers in France, author of many important books and papers. His two most recent books, his magnificent biography of Mises, only biography, but it was worth waiting for, Mises, The Last Night of Liberalism, and then a brand new book just out called The Ethics of Money Production, a very timely work. So Guido, here we are in living in the results of, unethical monetary production. And we've got this worldwide crisis. We're talking to you from France. The last time we talked about the banking crisis, you mentioned that there seemed to be less craziness in Germany than in France, that there seemed to be more distrust of these massive bailouts and massive money creation that's being proposed and being implemented all over the Western world. Is that still the case?
I think so, yes, though the difference has become smaller. I mean, there were two signs that were quite obvious for any outside observer. One thing is German politicians were much less enthusiastic than all others to throw themselves into big spending programs. I mean, they're still spending many billion euros, but not as much and not with the same enthusiasm as their homologues in Britain and Italy and other European countries. And then the other sign was the discussion of the crisis in the media. So here, too, in German media, there was a more sensitive discussion of these things. I mean, people were not outspokenly all around in favor of huge spending programs and of opening the gates of monetary policy to flood the markets with money. Whereas in France, this was precisely the case. I would say roughly from early October to the end of November, maybe shortly before Christmas, the media were just in a hyperbole and welcomed any new sign that now finally the government would be taking the economy again in its grip and get us out of the problem. French journalists seemed to be thoroughly convinced that the crisis had shown once for all that the market was an inferior system of economic organization and that finally the rationality of governments would hold sway again.
Are you saying that things have improved in France, that France is, there's more skepticism now today?
Yes. So I would say in the past month or so, things have cooled down a lot because people have seen that despite all the spending programs and spending promises that had already been made, and despite the saving of the bailout of the banking system and the financial markets to a very large extent, nothing essential had happened. And now they seem to be turning into despair, which of course also, so they're having doubts about the efficiency of government intervention in the present situation, which therefore also opens up the public debate to voices that had not been heard until then. So, for example, my colleague Pascal Salin has been interviewed on many radio stations and TV channels and so on, and I myself also have been publishing papers in the financial press in these past weeks and also giving interviews on radio shows and similar things.
In the U.S., certainly the official media is still 110% Keynesian. And it seems like, in fact, they're more Keynesian than Keynes. And typically hear people say, well, you know, every economist believes that this is the proper path. Every economist left and right, as I think Tim Geithner put it the other day, believes in this sort of program. And with the new administration, of course, and the old administration, they seem to be all for it. But I feel that under the surface, under the official commentariat and the state-connected people and the banking industry, that there's real unrest and real distrust of the government and of all these programs.
Yeah, that's my impression, too. I think that the presentation that, by and large, there's a very large agreement among economists about this is not really surprising. I mean, we are reaping now the fruit of decades-long economic education, right? I mean, how do our economics departments work, what do they teach students. It's pretty much in all countries that I'm somewhat familiar with, it's the same thing. They're only teaching Keynesian economics, as far as macroeconomics questions are concerned, only Keynesian economics in the first years. So as when an undergraduate gets to the bachelor degree or so, he doesn't know much more than, well, the basic Keynesian analytical framework. So he knows something about expansionary monetary policy and expansionary fiscal policy. And he has learned something also about the monetarist critique of Keynesian policy recommendations and the monetarist perception of this, but never heard of anything else. And then once they pass on to graduate work, then they don't do any basic economic analysis at all. Then they pass on to modeling, right? So, I mean, most, or virtually all university professors in economics today, they're not acting out of bad faith, but my impression is they simply don't know better, because ultimately they're not experts in the economy and in understanding the economy. They're experts in mathematical modeling.
Well, this is certainly what they do with the Fed. It's what they do with the Treasury. But it's astounding to hear in the financial press, financial commentators on television, on the financial television channels, they all seem to be vulgar Keynesians. I mean, there seems to be among the official givers of the word no dissent on these issues.
Yes, I mean, but again, so that's because they don't know anything else. I mean, for one thing, of course, we have been told that the crisis is a thing of the past. So, I mean, everybody is now thoroughly surprised that we do have a crisis at all. Right? I mean, it should not be there in the first place, because we have the wise government steering the economy, and because we also have the central banks who assure that the financial markets never get into a situation of thorough disequilibria and crisis. So, and this was in a way empirically warranted by what happened in the past 30 years. I mean, it was not the case that we didn't have any financial crisis or upheaval. So we had a big crisis in the early 1980s, and we had the stock market crash in 87, and several crises throughout the 1990s and so on. But you always had the impression that finally the central bank, with enough determination, would get the situation in its grip again and could prevent always a meltdown of the whole market. Now, this wisdom, I mean, which we could call the monetarist orthodoxy, this monetarist orthodoxy which held the whole public debate and also the university education in its grip in the past 30 years approximately, is now discarded. And for lack of alternatives, people are now reverting back to the old Keynesian orthodoxy. What is the Keynesian orthodoxy? Is of course, in a way, a caricature of John Maynard Keynes' thought, but it's not a completely off base as far as Keynesian thought is concerned. So, according to this orthodoxy, what you need to do in order to get out of a crisis is to have the government substitute itself for the unreliable private parts of the economy. So the private sector is refusing to spend enough money, consumers are not living up to their civic duty and going into debt and spending ever more money, so the government needs to do this. This is, of course, a very sad fact that there's not much more thought being given to the whole issue, but by and large, that's because people don't know any better, so it's natural that they revert back to this alternative.
Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Is the growth of government driving you crazy? Is it frustrating you that you can't do anything about it? Now you can. Join the Free State Project. Move to New Hampshire and get active with other liberty activists who have already slowed the growth of government in New Hampshire. Go to freestateproject.org.
But isn't there an indication, certainly I see it in this country and you see it in Europe, that there's more and more interest in the Austrian theory of the business cycle as an explanation of why we're in the crisis we're in and indications of what sort of policies ought to be adopted to get us out?
Yes. I mean, you can see it yourself with the popularity of your own website and the access statistics of the Mises.org website and so on. And I experienced it myself. And so this week I've been interviewed twice precisely about the Austrian theory of the business cycle. I guess that journalists are now getting more and more to the point that they see that most economists actually don't have much to say about the economy. I mean, at least not more sensible things that the journalists themselves could say about the economy. So they turn to people who have to say more interesting things, sometimes much more radical things, sometimes things that have not been considered at all, but which seems to be at least debatable. So I've been allowed to, well, present the Austrian case for just letting the market settle the problems that have been in the past created through government interventionism, which is, I mean, from a logical point, a very straightforward case. And we have the economic crisis now because year-long government interventions brought us into this. So it's not logical to entrust the government itself with the solution, finding a solution for this crisis, rather than entrusting private market forces, so entrepreneurs and savers, the citizens in a way, with getting us out of the crisis.
Well, Gita, now that we have the Obama administration here in the U.S. and obviously its adjuncts in Western Europe and in Asia, they seem to be getting everything they want. They're spending every dime and borrowing every dime and creating every dime that they want to create in the most hyper-Keynesian model. And of course, it's not doing the things that they had told us it would do. The crisis is getting worse. What lies ahead for us?
Well, of course, from a global point of view, what we can say is that we will now run into a situation of relative impoverishment, because what all these programs do is to keep the structure of production intact. That is, they're trying vainly, of course, as we think, but they're trying to keep the show going, whereas the problem is precisely that we have invested in the past massively into projects that are not viable, that is, that are not profitable in the long run. If we are now propping that up, subsidizing them with public money, well, we'll keep them going, but only at the expense of getting this capital out of other sectors where the capital could also be used, right? So we are binding resources, labor, and raw materials, intermediary goods, and so on, keeping them in those countries that ultimately do not replace them, cannot replace them. So we are wasting our capital. And if we do this on a small scale, as in France, well, we were joking at the beginning of the week, that's the only good aspect of this jumpstart program that the Sarkozy government has now proposed. It's only 25 billion euros, and that's simply because the government is already very heavily into debt. So they create harm, but they create harm only on the scale of 25 billion euros. If you now, I mean, if the Obama government does what it announced it would do, jumpstart the economy with expenditure of up to $800 billion or $1,000 billion, well, then, of course, you create damage up to this amount. So the more spending goes on, then, of course, the worse will be the ultimate result.
What do you think? I mean, we have all the bank bailouts going on. The banking system in this country and certainly in the UK seem to be even shakier than before. Can they keep the whole game going?
Well, ultimately, the only hope they can have is that the rest of the economy actually does the cleansing that needs to be done. Right? I mean, what needs to be done is to give up those projects that are ultimately not sustainable and invest the resources that are available into those projects that promise profits for the future. Now, if you keep artificially companies that are not viable in the market, you can only hope that at least the others are doing what needs to be done in order to prepare the economy for a better future. So I think the only bet that Western governments can rationally make is that, okay, they are saving the financial industries, they are saving the banking apparatus, and then hoping that during the time they are subsidizing them, whatever it takes, 5 years or 10 years, during this time the rest of the economy will catch up and bring things in order. That's the best hope. Then we would have a thoroughly corrupt and nationalized financial markets, but at least the rest of the economy would be in shape again.
Well, Guido, here we have it certainly in the UK and in the US, the de facto nationalization, maybe the de jure nationalization of the banking industry. What's the long-term economic effect of that, and maybe the political effect as well?
Well, the political aspect is, of course, politicization of credit, that is politicization of the allocation of resources. I mean, that there's a reason why Ludwig von Mises characterized financial markets as the hard element, the core element of a market economy. That's where capital is actually allocated. That's where we decide which projects should be realized and which projects should not be realized. That's also the reason why Karl Marx and Friedrich Engels in the Communist Manifesto of 1848 have called for the nationalization of the banking industry and the financial markets, precisely for the same reason, namely because they wanted to have the government have centralized control over ultimately all resources. So it's a very grave danger that we are confronting now. What could else follow from it? Well, I guess in the best of all cases, let's say the government really nationalizes at least the organized financial markets, so the stock exchanges and so on, because there are also unorganized financial markets, which we call the over-the-counter trade, which is actually much bigger than the organized financial markets. So the overall result would be that financial markets would become inefficient, and that people would have to look for new forms of organizations. For example, there might be a black financial market developing outside of the regulated sphere, and we might also have reverting back to more primitive forms of financial intermediation. So people just renouncing to, for example, setting up stock companies and so on, and have private ownership of prefer private ownership of smaller production units or so on.
Guido Holzman, thanks so much for coming on the show today. I want to make sure that everybody takes a look at your archive at Mises.org. I can't recommend his book, Mises, The Last Night of Liberalism, more highly. This is the best book ever written on an economist.
Thank you very much, Lou.
I think many other magnificent things about it, but it's just an extraordinary piece of work. Also, Guido's new, much shorter book called The Ethics of Money Production that explains in a fundamental sense exactly what's going wrong and why it's wrong. And Guido Holzman, thanks for being a source of sanity in Europe and in this country.
It's a pleasure, Lou.
You've been listening to The Lou Rockwell Show. Produced by LouRockwell.com, the best-read libertarian website in the world. Thanks for listening.